Good afternoon, listeners. And with me today is Alison Sampson, who is the pastor at the Sanctuary Warrnambool. And we're going to have a lovely chat today about what goes on at the Sanctuary and what lovely times everybody has there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for coming in. What we like to do is have a little sticky beak and know who our guest is. So if you could perhaps give us a very short history of where you came from and that sort of thing.
Okay. My name is Alison and I'm married and I have three daughters. We moved to Warrnambool in July of last year to start a new congregation among a group of people who have left the church otherwise but were seeking a way back home. So I come from Brunswick and Coburg, that sort of area in Melbourne.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're from the big smoke into the country.
Yep, from the crowds into the lovely Warrnambool.
You said it, lovely Warrnambool.
Yeah, loving it. Yeah.
It is, isn't it? It's a great place.
It's a great place.
Oh, yes, a lovely place to sit with. And for your kids as well.
Yep, my kids are thriving.
Yeah. And they're all at school?
Three at school. Learning to surf, learning to horse ride, and thinking they have arrived in heaven.
Lovely. I like it. Yeah. Okay. Now, how did you get, first of all, how did you get involved in the church? Was it like from way back or was something sort of got you into it?
Yeah, I grew up in the church. My mother was a pastor, a minister of a Baptist congregation. Like most people, I left when I was a teenager. And in my early 20s, I was looking at all the adults who appeared to be fully alive that I knew, really sparky people, and I noticed that most of them were Christians. I was a very miserable and grumpy teenager and young adult, very angry, and I thought this must be the path. So I went back because I knew what sort of adult I wanted to be when I grew up. So yeah, that's how I came back into the church.
I reckon that's as good a way of getting into something, you know, to take in the human aspect, not so much the theology of it and everything. You know, that's a great insight into why you wanted to become part of, you know, the church.
Yeah, I had my eye on a few key 40-year-olds and thought, that's the sort of 40-year-old I want to be. So ended up back in the church.
Well done.
So faith has been a very slow development for me, something I chose for and then grew into very slowly.
So. Okay, this brings us now to the Sanctuary. Now, it's a beautiful building anyway, isn't it? It's a pretty old one, isn't it?
Yes, we meet in the old Ellerslie College building on Corroit Street, the Sandstone Hall. It was built in the 1870s as a secondary college initially, and it's been used for many different reasons since then. It's been used as a school and as a church. It's been used as a dance studio and a pistol shooting range, art gallery and offices and many different uses.
So, and it's come back to a church now?
Come back to a church now, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because they used to have some art exhibitions there, didn't they?
That's right. So I think Wadia, we're using the building for art classes, and then they also held exhibitions there, including, I think, the Warrnambool a few years ago.
That's right, it was. So, I went to that, yeah. Yeah, in case the listeners don't know exactly where it's opposite the courthouse, isn't it?
Yeah, opposite the courthouse.
Yeah.
241 Corroit Street.
Yeah. Ah,
and it's now completely furnished with op shop furniture. Thank you to the good people of Warrnambool.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
So it's all your old kitchen chairs and grandma's crockery.
So, wow.
Yeah. Trying to give you a visual of what it looks like. We've got crocheted granny rugs and trying to make it a cosy and comfortable place for people. Not a highly formal place, but cosy and comfortable so that all sorts of people, and particularly children and families, feel very welcome. They don't worry about making things a bit grubby because the things are a bit grubby to begin with.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to think too prim and proper with kids around, do you?
Yeah.
So what is special about the Sanctuary, you know, and how did it start for you? What actually got you into that particular... Yeah.
We came to Warrnambool for a holiday in January and had not been before as a family. And we kept bumping into people that we knew through very old connections, people who weren't attending churches currently but who identified as Christian or had identified as Christian. And I was a pastor of a church in Melbourne. And as we had conversations with these people, they kept saying, oh, you need to move to Warrnambool. We need you here. And I just laughed. I thought that was very funny. We went back to Melbourne and the conversation just kept happening. So we travelled back and forth from Warrnambool to Melbourne, or Melbourne to Warrnambool. Kept having these conversations. 30 or 40 people would turn up to meet me and talk about the possibility of starting something new. And so eventually we decided to move and this property became available and it felt quite heaven sent. So here we are now. Yeah,
and you're such a normal person, can I say? Because none of us realise something. We need somebody to tell us what we've got, don't we? Like these people knew that you was made for to come to Warrnambool, but you was a little bit hesitant yourself.
I was very hesitant. Yeah. In fact, I thought that I would always be living in the inner suburbs of a big city. My children have asked periodically over their lives if we could move to the country. And my husband and I have always said, sorry, kids, you've born into the wrong family. We're city people. But here we are and our kids are loving it and they've known what's good for us all along. So that's been a big lesson for us as parents too.
Oh, that's good.
So a whole lot of things have come together to make this move a really good move for both our family and I hope for many people in Warrnambool.
Yeah. So those guys whispering in your ear, you've got to come, we're right.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. And we talk about the language of calling, so a sense of being called here. And I tested the calling or the vocation with a large number of people, both here and in Melbourne, from a variety of backgrounds. And yeah, there's a real sense of clarity that this was the move that we needed to make and this is the work that I needed to do for now.
I was just going to ask you, do members of your congregation sort of come from a variety of religions? And you've virtually answered that, haven't you? It's that they came from all sorts of different religions.
Yes, I think Sanctuary is probably... There are many really good churches in Warrnambool and it's not about the other churches not being good. But I think there are some theological differences. So it's probably in a theologically different position.
Hmm. To me, I reckon that's great because religion, along with other things, people do need a choice, don't they? And what suits one doesn't suit another.
Yeah.
And you've proved it. You've got a catchment of people that want something different.
Yeah, I have a lovely group of people who come from various Christian backgrounds. Some would be Catholic, some are Baptist, some come from other denominations. And there are also people in the congregation who probably aren't really sure where their faith lies, but they do know that they're hungry for a story and a group of people to belong to, and they participate on that basis. So they may not even identify as Christian, but they're very interested in the stories that we tell, the ways that we share them and the ways we eat together and try and share our lives.
So. There's lots of people out there that religion is always a strange thing for them.
Yep.
They want to know something.
Yep.
And so you put out a helping hand there, haven't you? Look, okay, you're not sure of religion, but you can come here and we can talk and listen to others.
Yeah, I think the classic mistake we've made over the last several hundred years is to think that religion is something that we intellectually agree to and that faith in God is something we intellectually agree to. It's an idea. We live in an era where the very idea of God is not assumed. That's a huge intellectual leap. And the reality is it doesn't matter what you intellectually believe in. All that matters is how you live. And so I'm trying to hold a space, provide a place where people can encounter each other well and I hope encounter the living God through those encounters with each other and with the stories about Jesus, who we understand to be God in human form, come to earth to show us how to love and encounter God through relationship.
I was used to say to my children, I carry my religion around with how I treat and approach people and how I, you know, try to help people and be there. So I suppose there's quite a few aspects like that in different people's theories of their religion.
Yeah, and I think what quite often happens, you know, you get married on a wedding day, and then you actually grow into being married, being a married couple. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of compromise, a lot of learning about yourself and learning about other people to be well married. And it takes a lifetime to be well married. In the same way, I think faith also, you become faithful, you become Christian partly through living out the practices. And as the practices go deeper and deeper, I like to think of them as being written on your bones. The stories are being written on your bones. They gradually change how you see the world. They give you a whole new worldview, a worldview which I hope and I believe is full of life and love and hope. And sometimes what that means is you then also grow into learning that you've been experiencing God all along, but you haven't had the language for it, or you haven't had the lens or the language to describe that encounter as an encounter with God.
And so the sanctuary really is a helping hand for people that are still trying to find their way.
I think all of us are trying to find our way. I certainly haven't got there. I'm just on the way. Yeah. We talk about being on the way. Pilgrim's on the way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're just going to give you a little break now, Alison, and we'll be back in a mo. Okay, listeners, we're having a quick break now. I'm talking with Alison Sampson, who is a pastor at the Sanctuary here in Warrnambool, and we'll be back in a mo. Welcome back, listeners, and I'm having a chat with Alison Sampson, who is the pastor at the Sanctuary here in Warrnambool, and sounds a really interesting place. Now, Alison, what is the foundation of your sermons that you give over to your congregation?
That's a great question, Alan. Sermons are very weird because it's not usual for us as a people to sit in a room and have someone talk to us. What on earth am I doing when I preach? So, as I said before, what I'm trying to do as a pastor is help the members of the congregation, in part, write the stories, the biblical stories, upon their hearts and upon their bones so that they carry them with them always. And I hope that when I'm preaching, I'm helping in that work. Part of my work is also to spend time with people, watching them, listening to them, hearing about their deepest hopes and their deepest concerns for their lives and for the world. And each week, as I prepare my sermon, I'll have a text, and I will have in mind all the conversations I've had over the last few weeks and things I've read in the newspaper, and wondering and praying and reflecting on how might this text, this story about Jesus, or the story that Jesus told, what might it have to say to this group of people right now in Warrnambool? And so that's what I'm trying to do. We talk about the Bible partly, we call it the living word. So this is a word that continues to speak in new ways again and again and again into people's lives. So trying to find that new living word.
Right. Yeah. And because of the diverse congregation, they come in from all aspects. Mm-hmm. That's not difficult, is it? Because lots of them have already been within the religion circle of different churches. What about somebody that, is an atheist?
Yeah.
All right. Now, do you take that on board and give it a special sort of little touch?
Yes, so we quite regularly have people come to visit or to worship with us who identify as atheist and often have never been in a church before. The first thing I say to them is, what we're doing is culturally weird, so don't worry about it. It's going to be weird. It's going to feel weird. And the second thing I always say is that I and most people here in the congregation are spending our lives trying to learn these big stories that will shape our lives. And if you come once, you're spending an hour. So you get a tiny, tiny little slice of this massive story that was told thousands of years ago and continues to be lived out in people's lives even now. So I say, just let it wash over you. Just enter into the story, see what it has to say to you. It might have something to say, it might not, but just give it a go.
Keep coming.
I don't pressure people to keep coming. No. I think people need to feel invited, but never pressured. They always have to come of their own free will. So
yeah. Okay, so what's, going back to right to the beginning, what's been some of the reaction from these members of your congregation? Have they sort of, what I'm trying to say is, have they said, oh, you've opened my eyes to something I never even thought about, or this is so much better than what I was used to?
I wouldn't want to be comparing with other churches.
No, sorry. What I mean, perhaps people...
I think the sense of that they have deep hungers and the hungers are beginning to be met. So they have deep need to have to engage with these stories and engage with other people in a spirited way, in a sense of good spirit in the room, sharing their lives, and this is beginning to happen. I think there's that really lovely feeling in the space each week.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
What I also find interesting is some of the people who visited in the last couple of months have been children or young teenagers who've never been in churches before and who really find the whole idea of God just ridiculous, and that's absolutely understandable. And what I find as a pastor incredibly touching is that each week we use a formal liturgical thing, we use a formal liturgy, and there's always an opportunity for people to pray for the world. So not just for ourselves, but for the city of Warrnambool, for the country we live in, for all the events happening overseas, for people that we love. And I see these young kids get what we're doing and they leap out, and they're often the first to offer prayers. You know, we pray in different ways, and so people move around the room and pray in different places in different ways for different things. And these kids leap out of their chairs and go and pray with an ornamental teaspoon planted in a teapot for their grandma, or they write their fears about what's happening in the United States, and they write that on a post-it and they stick it on the world map up on the United States. And I just love seeing these young people express their deepest concerns to a larger group of people, in a sense that it's being held by something bigger than them. There's this need for their concerns to be held by something bigger than them, whether it's this congregation or whether it's the Spirit of God. We have to work out for ourselves.
Yeah, and youth is our future, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you can get youth to understand what it's all about.
Yeah.
And
look, and they have such a wonderful view of the world.
Yes.
They're paying attention.
Yeah. I've been to several schools through my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and the kids come on board to things just full on. Once they've got that, like you say, once somebody's put the note up there and drawn their attention, I mean, some of the aid programs that the kids participate in, they're feeling for people that they've never known, they'll probably never see, but they know that they need to give.
Yeah.
And that, I reckon that's magic.
Yeah, it's marvellous.
Yeah. Now, you said about, and I've just said about overseas, we have a immigrant sort of population in Warrnambool. Do any of those guys come to the sanctuary?
No, we're a sadly very white population at the moment, and it'll be lovely when that changes.
Yeah, because, look, take religion, in my aspect, all over the world. It's created lots and lots of conflict that where people can't quite understand. So it would be nice for you to have some people, especially in a little place like Warrnambool.
Well, one of the great privileges late last year, when we'd just been meeting for a few months, is some Indonesian teachers who came on a teaching exchange to the high school, to Warrnambool College, who are Muslim, came and worshipped with us because they are interested in interfaith dialogue. So that was a very great privilege to have Muslim people worshipping with us and to spend time together after the service, learning from each other and communicating across what can be pretty terrible boundaries in many places.
Yes, it's really sad, isn't it? We won't go into too much detail, but it is sad because, let's face it, the majority, there's always that element of nastiness in any part of life, isn't there? But you, like my kids used to come home from school and one would say, oh, I hate so-and-so. I said, no, you must never hate anybody. Look into them deeply, there's good in everybody. That's my philosophy in life, and that's what I try to teach my kids.
Yeah.
Don't always look for something that upset you. Look for the good bit.
And the way I would say that is very similar, but every person on this earth is God's beloved child. And so we need to look at them when we encounter these people, even people doing terrible things, and know this person too is God's beloved. How we relate to them has to be shaped by their understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big subject there.
A big subject there, I know.
Okay, well, look, your congregation, do you encourage them to take your place sometimes during the sermon and give their thoughts to the rest of the guys?
Yep, there's opportunity in the service for people to participate. As I said, we use a formal liturgy, which means we use a text that is written down and used the same every week for a number of weeks before we change to the next formal liturgy. And that liturgy is spoken by many different voices from around the congregation. So it might be spoken by a child or an adult, a woman or a man, lots of different voices. During the sermon slot, usually I preach, but probably once every couple of months someone else preaches. And once a month we do a reflection together where I don't preach, but we all together read, reflect on, and then talk about the reading for the day and wonder what it might mean for us, talk about what it triggers, what questions it raises for us. So together we wrestle with the text.
Hmm. Very interesting. The children, sort of what's the youngest that have braved up and stood there and told everybody their thoughts?
Their thoughts. Probably an 8-year-old.
Right,
so the kids are in with us during the service. We don't have a separate Sunday school. An 8-year-old will contribute to that conversation. Mm.
There's nothing like that age for truth, is there?
Yeah.
They do not mess around.
Or asking really good questions.
Exactly. That's a magic age, isn't it? They want to know why.
In fact, we have the service at 4:00 on a Sunday. And then we have dinner together afterwards, a potluck. People bring food. And almost every week, a kid will sit down next to me with a bowl of curry and rice or soup and say, you know that story you told a few weeks ago about such and such? I've been thinking about it. Anyway, I think... And then off the conversation will go. And it's so exciting to see that people and even very young children are wrestling with these stories and they're thinking about them for weeks and then the questions are bubbling up.
Intuitive
minds. Yeah, it's one of the best parts of my job.
Oh, yeah. That's magic, isn't it? Because there's nothing like children to straighten things out and see a good perspective of what's going on because they see it.
Yeah, or even just to think of a story in a whole new way.
Yeah.
So we told a story a few months ago where Jesus was approached by some people called the Sadducees and they were asking him questions and trying to catch him out, trying to get him to answer in a way that would show that he wasn't being faithful to the Jewish law. And so he told the story and then a few weeks later a boy said to me, I've been thinking about that story. And he said, you know, I'm just like the Sadducees. I am full of tricky questions for God. And I thought it was wonderful, a wonderful way of understanding himself as people who are part of this story.
That's great.
Yeah.
Your job seems a pleasure working with, not just the kids, but the adults that want to know and learn something as well.
And also be happy to not know. Sometimes we don't have answers.
Yeah.
Sometimes the answers will take a very long time and sometimes our answers will change.
Yeah. So good. Now, I know what you're going to say. Yes, I do. Music, your music in the church. Have you got a sort of a theme that you use?
What I'm trying to encourage and what we're trying to develop is a culture of participation that we don't want... I don't want to be running a service that is a performance and the people who come are the audience. I want the congregation together to be doing the work and doing the joy of a service. So what this means is that we have a lot of the service will be a spoken word and a sung response, and a spoken word and a sung response. And the singing is often very simple one-line refrains, a simple one-line, very simple melody line. So there's a lot of little bits of singing through the service, not many long songs with many words.
Okay, so, but music is a good tool, isn't it?
It's a great tool. So we've noticed again that the children go out afterwards and they often play cops and robbers after dinner. And
tear around the place.
Tear around the place, rip up the garden. But they will also often be singing. They'll begin to sing and they'll be singing the songs they've just been singing in the service, and the songs are going deep on them, and it's wonderful to watch. And we sing a cappella. We don't use instruments. We bring our voices, the best of ourselves and the worst of ourselves, to sing together, partly because it helps us learn to listen to each other in other ways. If we listen together as we're singing, then we might be better at listening together at other times when we really need to be paying attention. Yeah.
So not just the spoken word.
No, a lot of sung word.
A lot of sung word. Yeah. I know, because talking about music and religion, often seen the down on the village green, by the art gallery, there's a little stage there, and especially during Christmas, a lot of the churches participate in. Yep. They've got little groups, and I've always said to the wife, you just look on that stage at the, and they're all youngsters, and there's something that shines out from them. It's as if they know something that I don't know.
There's something very special about singing with other people. It's a very special experience, you know, within or without the church. The act of acting, forming a choir, I think is incredibly special.
Yeah. Of course, again, in Warrnambool, we're lucky. Did you go to the, they had a choir sort of show?
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, yeah. It probably you wasn't here then when that was on, but there's some fabulous choirs in Warrnambool. So we're nearly finished now. Okay. I'm going to let you rush off to do whatever you're doing.
Write my sermon.
Yeah. So the thing is, you're open to it. Anybody can just pop through the door.
All are welcome.
Yep. And the sanctuary guys is opposite the courthouse. And so
the most accessible entrance is, you go, it's a little sandstone hall perched high above the footpath. It's the most accessible entrance is if you come up the right-hand side driveway and there's ramp access through a door.
I was just going to ask you that in case any of our guys just wanted to come in and have a little look.
Yeah.
So there's ramps.
There are ramps. There's a wheelchair accessible toilet as well.
There you go.
So
geared for everything.
Geared for everything.
And a nice supper as well.
Oh, yes. Bit of curry and rice. Cup of tea.
Well, Alison, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure.
I truly hope you have a tremendous success here in Warrnambool. Your passion for your religion shines out, and some of the nice things that you've said, I'm sure people are going to click onto. And I wish you every success.
Thank you, Alan. It's been lovely to be here.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, listeners, that was a lovely chat with Alison Sampson, who is the pastor at the Sanctuary here in Warrnambool. And now we're going over to Cynthia to see what she has for us today.